This episode of the Butane by ABIC podcast is brought to you by the Aesthetic and Beauty Industry Council. Hello and welcome to the Butane by ABIC podcast, your online support community for the aesthetic and beauty industry. Here, we are strengthening and unifying the industry through representation, innovation, and education. This is a platform created and dedicated to the aesthetic and beauty industry, valuing unity and advancement. We serve to represent, support, and inspire you by connecting you with industry experts, expanding your knowledge through educational pieces, and bringing you the latest industry news. This is Butane by ABIC. I'm your host, Stephanie Miller, and today's guest is Dr. Ingrid Tall from Cosmetic Image Clinics and Aquarius Health and MediSpa. With 25 years of experience as a general practitioner and cosmetic doctor, Dr. Ingrid Tall has made a significant mark in the medical and cosmetic fields. Her journey was inspired by the rejuvenating power of day spas experienced during a family vacation in Europe. In 2011, she brought this vision to Brisbane, founding the Aquarius Health and MediSpa and Cosmetic Image Clinics in the city's CBD. From a modest beginning, the facility has evolved into one of Brisbane's largest, award-winning and most comprehensive luxury MediSpas, offering an array of services and facilities including cosmetic medicine, indoor heated pool, finished dry saunas, IV nutrient treatments, hot and cold magnesium pools, steam rooms, gym facilities, and so much more. Her career in cosmetic medicine was ignited in 1993 while working as a medical reporter for Channel 10 News, where she covered emerging treatments like laser resurfacing. This passion has seen her continuously update her skills and knowledge, keeping abreast of the latest industry developments. Along with her clinical work, Dr. Tall has been a key figure in the medical community, notably serving as the president of the Queensland Australasian Medical Association. Here to discuss her journey as a business owner and founder of award-winning MediSpas and a pioneer in the field of penis filler technology from Cosmetic Image Clinics and Aquarius Health and MediSpa, today we welcome ABIC Clinic member, Dr. Ingrid Tall.
Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Ingrid Tall. How are you today?
Oh, very well, Steph. It's great to be here. I love talking with you.
You are one super duper dynamic human being. I tell you what, blew everything out of the water when I came into your clinic and met you and your team and saw your incredible space. So I was very excited to have you on the podcast today.
Great. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Steph.
I wanted to be able to put you on our podcast today so that our listeners and our audience and the industry at large can actually learn from you, because I sat there and really absorbed all the information that you were giving me during our visit. And I thought, oh, I've got to get you on the podcast because you have so much insight to share. But before we start, we always start our podcast the same way. We ask our guests a little bit about themselves, about their history, and how they came to be in the aesthetic industry.
Well, I actually did a journalism degree after completing medicine. I thought it'd be exciting, and it was exciting, actually. And I became a medical reporter for Channel 7, 9, and 10 here in Brisbane. And I was doing a story on laser resurfacing, and that must be nearly 30 years ago now, Steph. And I thought, what an exciting development is that? And that piqued my interest. And I thought, let's get into this game. I was a GP at the time. And then I did the hybrid GP cosmetic medicine. Back then, it was the collagen made from the foreskins of little baby boys. And that's about all we were doing. And then the laser came along. And then we had hyaluronic acid that came along. And I must say, I am so delighted to be in this incredible booming industry, to me, it is like the world of IT and the internet, that it is one of the biggest growth industries in the world. And to be playing in this space is so exciting. And I just love the way that we can make people just feel really good about themselves, boost their self-esteem. And I think the gratification that you get from being a cosmetic doctor is actually surpasses, for me, being a GP. I know that's not for everyone, but you just make people happy, and it's very rewarding.
Well, I tell you what, you certainly have that aura about you, and your whole clinic displays that aura of happiness, well-being, welcoming kind of atmosphere. When I walked into that gorgeous space, I truly was blown away. Your space boasts a gym, a swimming pool, a sauna. Apart from being a cosmetic clinic, you opened up the doors to wellness and well-being. Tell us what else you offer in that space.
Gosh, heavens, I think we have like 200 services that we offer in there. So it's a lot, and probably we need to specialize and drill down and focus a little bit more in life. We've also got plunge pools, magnesium plunge pools. You know, we've got the fitness classes. In the cosmetic space, we also have the intravenous vitamin therapies.
I even saw a lash. Is it lash and brow space?
Well, yes, actually, we've got, we do the usual waxing, of course. We do the tattooing and the brow reshaping. Also, you know, it's nice because you can use the prescription growth factors as well to make the lashes grow longer. So it's a nice synergy, all of these things together.
I tell you what, talking about synergy, I felt like if I was a client of yours or a member of your, I don't know if you have memberships, but I feel like you need to have some kind of membership to this incredible place, that I would be spending countless hours in there and come away not just feeling rejuvenated in my face, but rejuvenated in my body and soul almost, because there's quiet spaces for contemplation. There's beautiful spaces in there. There's clinical areas. There's areas focused on, you know, your body and your fitness and well-being. You walk past a couple of, you know, nice looking gym boys in your premises, and I thought, how unique and wonderful. I think I'll stay here.
Oh, that's lovely. And historically, we've had a bit more separation between the Aquarius Health and Medi Spa day spa type facilities, with the swimming pool and the plunge pools and saunas and steam room, etc. And we've kept the clinical cosmetic image clinic separate from that. But really now, I think we're merging them more and, you know, turning them into one big Medi Spa situation. I think this is the way of the future. And, you know, it was a great honor to actually win Global Medi Spa a few years ago. But I think we need to keep stitching them together and making it one space. So when people come in for their injectables treatment, they're often very type A driven, successful people. We need to spoil them a little more, teach them how to slow down and stress and unwind. Power de-stress, I kind of think, because you almost have to do it very quickly, don't you, these days? You know, you need to get that mental health, well-being sometimes ticked off on the do list in the morning, even before you start work.
Love that. Power wellness. Power relax.
Power de-stress. That's right.
Oh, for busy people, that's exactly what they need. Oh my goodness. Yes. I did walk into your space and think this is the way of the future, as you said. I think things are moving quite slowly but surely in that direction, because we're understanding that there is a powerful connection between our bodies and minds. I don't know if you subscribe to that theory of, you know, we're a complete person 360. We need to look after our aging and our well-being as a complete entity, not rather than just fix the cosmetic approach. Is that something that you subscribe to?
Absolutely. And I think it goes both ways, that when we look after ourselves and we're fit and we do our mental health processes, whether they're, you know, whatever they are, meditation, positive affirmation, gratitude journals, concentrating on love and giving in your mind, like Tony Robbins recommends when he does his, you know, mindfulness program in the morning. I think all of that's important. But likewise, I think actually it goes the other way. And the studies actually support this, that if, for instance, you're having muscle relaxants in your frown, then you actually are becoming less stressed and less depressed. Numerous studies do show that not only do the emotions follow the motions, but the motions follow the emotions as well. And if you're not frowning, you actually feel better about life. And I think it'd be a potential space for psychiatrists to possibly enter, where they're doing muscle relaxants such as Botox in the frown to help their patients de-stress and feel happier. The psychologists actually have a big word for it, and unfortunately they've only told it to me once. But I'm dying to find that beautiful word that describes that phenomenon, where when you're not frowning, you just feel happier. And I think also when people look in the mirror and they see a refreshed, you know, happier face looking out at them, that is also perhaps, you know, a positively aging face as well, that they feel invigorated and energetic. They feel they can greet the day with on, you know, a higher octane level of energy. And I also think they just feel healthier, and they feel as if they're going to live longer. It's a weird trick that we play in our own mind on ourselves, but it just works, I think.
I think you need to get in front of APRA and tell them that, because after I read the guidelines, they were specifically and categorically saying that there is no connection between looking better and cosmetic procedures and a sense of well-being or improved health or mental well-being at all, that there's no proof and correlation to that. That's a statement they put in those guidelines.
People often say there is no proof because they haven't read the studies and they're not aware of the proof, but it doesn't mean there is no proof, when it's a lovely debating kind of rebuttal tool for everything. There's no proof, but often there is. If you just dig deep enough, you can see that it's there. And that's probably part of the reason people don't do cosmetic medicine for vanity and because they're trying to kind of trick the world. I think they do it because they feel better in themselves. I think also there are prejudices and discriminations out there that you can actually, you know, fight yourself with cosmetic medicine. And there's, you know, suggestion that the greatest discrimination on earth is actually ageism, where people subconscious bias, you look at an old person and you kind of write them off and think, oh, they've got nothing to offer, they're fuddy-duddies, they're not with it. But you know, if they're looking younger, fresher, better, then perhaps that is a way that we can fight that that world's biggest discrimination, which is more than against the discrimination against races and gay people and amputees and fattists and all of those myriad discriminations that people harbor in their mind and often unwittingly and subconsciously and not willingly. But, you know, if we can help fight them and make people feel better, then I think it's a great thing.
Our industry and what we do is so much deeper than what it appears on the surface, isn't it? Such a shame that you actually have to be in the industry to understand it, or a patient of the industry to actually understand how deep it runs. And we wish our regulatory bodies would delve into our industry a little bit more so that they could understand it a little bit better. But I suppose we'll touch on that a little bit later in our podcast. What you were talking about now between that mind-body connection and that holistic approach to well-being and wellness, do you think that's a reason why when you walked into your space, you decided to purchase that area? Because previously you were in a different space. What made you come to want to purchase the space you're in now?
I was a lover of spas for many years and would gallivant around the spas in Germany. My mum is German and we'd go to Germany a fair bit, and I just found them alluring and lovely, and I just wanted to bring that, I suppose, to Brisbane, where it was cosmopolitan European and obviously Asian as well. It was actually a Korean health center when I bought it, and I think it was just that that passion for sitting in saunas and unwinding, relaxing, enjoying the conviviality of those spaces. You know, I wanted to share with people. Bit of a stress bunny myself, I suppose, and I did find that going to these places just was, in you know, very intensely relaxing, and I adored doing it. And so I think that's why I just put my mind to finding a space like that.
The Aesthetic and Beauty Industry Council is Australia's peak industry body, representing the collective professional beauty and aesthetic, salon, clinic, and spa community. Created for the industry, by the industry, our council is a collaboration of industry leaders who bring their commitment and specialised skills to raise industry standards, guide regulation, and be a strong voice to government. At ABIC, our purpose is to provide an accessible and supportive organisation for the betterment of the professional beauty and aesthetic field, to enhance working practices and promote unity across the various sectors of the industry. ABIC's mission also includes being a trusted source of referral, education and guidance for clients of the beauty and aesthetic profession. ABIC is here to support our members through an extensive offering, including hundreds of valuable resources, HR support and industry expert facilitators to ensure your continued growth and success. Join us today and together let's safeguard the future of the beauty and aesthetic industry. Find us at www.theabic.org.au. At ABIC, we are here for you.
I used to inject in, you know, a two-room place near, you know, the Queen Street Mall, but and probably, to be honest, it probably made as much money, perhaps even more, than a big day spa where you've got incredible overheads. But there's something in me that just that hangs onto it and just wants to make it really, really work and just see the fruits of my labor there.
Sometimes there's something to be said for passion. So sometimes it's not just the money element.
Exactly.
It is definitely a vision that we have and a dream that we have to come to fruition, I suppose. And that's what I walked into. I felt like I walked into a fairy tale, an enchanted place where it was your dream had come to life. And it was just such a beautiful experience. And I have no doubt that your dream is to make that one big space. But I have no doubt that once your dream comes true and you have that sense of congruency that you've wanted throughout the two different businesses, you'll actually come out better than your two-room clinic, I would say.
That's great.
Because I tell you what, it is, I think, the way of the future, that type of environment. I definitely realized that a long time ago that when I went overseas, and I actually saw complete cosmetic wellness, they call it, overseas. And I think that's something to be said for those two words combined together that you do so well. But you offer so many different treatments as well. Tell us about some of the treatments you offer. I know that you offer the traditional ones, but Ingrid, you blew my mind because there was one special room in your clinic that had my eyes popped open, and you've also written a book about it.
Yes, well, the little room is where we do penis enlargement, which is a passion project of mine. I've been doing it now for 7 years. And it started off when a patient came in and we did his usual Botox and fillers in his face. And then he said, "Do you do penile augmentation?" And I went, "No, but let me look into it." And so went on Dr. Google and found out that it's actually been done since 2003, and it was developed primarily in Korea. And you know, since then, it's just getting bigger and bigger. I've got the penis filler alert, Google alert on, and they're just coming in thick and fast these days, where it's springing up everywhere, and especially, of course, in the States. But you know, now we probably do about a third of our revenue is with penis filler. And I've written a book about it now, and it's called Private Renovations. It's on Amazon's. It's only $4.99 for a download, or you can buy the book for about $30. And they say everyone has a book in them. Margaret Mitchell, who wrote Gone with the Wind, said that, and that was mine. I don't think there'll be another one, because it's writing a book is always a lot more work than you ever expect. So a lot of weekends were kind of taken up with it. But I particularly love it because the penis guys are a breed amongst themselves in a way. Because it's kind of new and cutting edge, it's very much the alpha males that are doing it. And also, it's an expensive procedure because instead of doing, for instance, 1 mil in the lip, you're doing 20 mils in the penis. Remember, there's 5 mils in a level teaspoon. So, you know, doing like 2 teaspoons doesn't cut the mustard. Generally, that's that the happy place. When they have 20 mils, they're more than twice as happy as when they have 10 mils. And these guys are just alpha males, very successful. They're often kind of in paradoxically also very laid back. So, you know, there's less angst with them as a group of guys. They just make their mind up and they're in for it. And their careers are fascinating, and they're just go-getters, and often have a good sense of humor too, because it's a bit of a, you know, nervous kind of energy that they have when they're coming in, because they're thinking, my gosh, this is going to bring tears to my eyes. They're incredibly brave for being there. But paradoxically, it's an incredibly comfortable procedure. And guys who have the Botox in there or the fillers in their faces say that's a lot more painful than having penis filler. So, you know, in nervous situations, often people's sense of humor comes out. You know, like if they're nervous in a plane,
Of
people
course.
become instant comedians, don't they? And I think in this situation, they're often very amusing too, these guys. But they're just great to get to know, to talk to. You know, you're in there, you know, often an hour with them, so you cover a lot of topics about, you know, the economy and their business and who they are, where they've come from. So, you know, it's a very good experience to be in there. I'm the director of Androphil, which is a international company that does penis filler, and it was founded by Dr. Gary Horn in the UK, a plastic surgeon there. And so it's nice to be affiliated with the world's biggest penis filling company, I suppose, and to learn from them.
That's huge, and no pun intended. That is incredible. You are definitely leading in the space of this particular treatment. And it was fascinating hearing about, you know, these guys that are coming in and really feeling comfortable in their own selves and their own skin. And I suppose being really jovial and happy and confident and relaxed, this is adding to their lives rather than it, you know, being something that they have to be ashamed about or something that they need to kind of having, you know, particular secrecy or particular stress about. That's fascinating to me.
It is a bit funny. I had one guy who came to the counter to pay after the procedure, and there was a woman who looked him up and down who just had a procedure, and she said, "And what have you just had?" to him, and he said, "Penis filler." And that just made us all break up. But and then there was another story about a guy who came in with penis filler, and his partner had lip filler. And later they went to visit his father, and he saw his partner's lips, and he went, "Oh my God, look at you both. What are you going to do next? Penis filler." And he said to his dad, "Oh, Dad, I've already had that." It just makes me wonder whether there's a genetic component there, because no one's generally heard of penis filler. And I wonder whether the dad had actually been Googling penis filler, which was why it was on the top of his mind when his son walked in and he asked him the question about whether he had
Ingrid, you
penis
are
filler.
a cheeky, cheeky human. I tell you what, you made me laugh so much when I walked into your space. Immediately, I walked into the, you know, your clinic, And I was greeted by, I can't tell you how many people greeted me at the same time with the big smiling faces at the front. I think it was about six or seven, just there, almost with open arms, huge smiles. I felt like I was a star of the show walking into your space. And there you were, lounged on the couch, on the beautiful couch. Welcome, Stephanie, come on in. And everyone was so happy. And immediately I thought, I need to bottle this. How do I get this atmosphere, this happiness, this extreme, satisfaction I could see on everyone's face? They wanted to be there. How do you keep your team so enthused and so excited to be at work? You know, tell us a little bit about your leadership philosophy there.
Oh, well, Steph, that's so wonderful that you felt that. And you are like a star when you walk in, and your beautiful, warm extroversion, you know, that's mirrored to you in life, no doubt, wherever you go. But yes, fun is an important value for me. You know, there's one person I pay a lot of money at work, because she just is like the court jester and makes me laugh, and I just want to keep her there, you know, just making the whole environment positive. And
you hear that, and, everyone, make fun your boss laugh here, and you'll get a pay rise.
That's right. I'm ashamed to kind of admit that, really. I must say that it might look in a way like everyone's happy at work. To other business owners out there, I just want them to know that it's like the duck feet, isn't it, really? It looks calm and happy on the outside, but often underneath there's those feet furiously paddling and problems underneath, to the point where I actually said to my partner, who manages like 40 people, you know, are the problems, are the staff problems that we have kind of normal, or is there something really wrong with us? And she said to me, no, I think that's really normal. It just happens, you know, everywhere in life that is the major problem that one deals with. So to all the other business owners out there, don't fret if you think you're, you know, problematic or you have terrible problems. I just think that it's just a common saying in life, and staff problems are just prolific generally. And that, might I say, is why we joined ABIC, you know, I think in Brisbane, we just say ABIC, but you say ABIC down in Melbourne, and is because of the wonderful support that's provided by your company, so that when you have problems, you can just ring and say, what do we do? And then you get great advice and emails, you know, outlining what we should do. Because I think that is the great challenge for businesses these days, is fair work. And a lot of business owners, I think it's call it unfair work, because it's, you know, it is kind of geared towards the employee at the moment, not the business owner. It can be very, very difficult to, you know, deal with you know, staff problems. And, you know, you get nervous when you see that Technology One, for instance, a ASX listed company, has paid $6 million in one human resources case, where, you know, for unfair dismissal. So, but how does one deal with staff? What are the tips that I have? I think trying to keep a happy workplace is really important. I heard once that, you know, you try to treat your clients and customers like VIPs, but you have to treat your staff like your most VIP clients and customers. And I'm learning that more and more. I'm really trying to in a way, love my staff, like really love them. And I really recommend a book called All In by Mike Michailowicz, or look, his surname, couldn't spell it for the life of me, but it's a wonderful book talking about the importance of good team culture and having regular social, you know, events, and trying to find out what makes your staff tick, trying to even find out what their goals are for their own life. And if I can care for them as a person beyond the workplace, you know, as a human being, then I think that's going to make life a little bit easier. But I can tell you, it's very, very hard to keep staff happy. And we all screw up, you know, that's part of life, really.
We all do.
Good.
And it's so refreshing actually to hear we all screw up because, you know, so many business owners, and of course we're a not-for-profit organization, we're the peak body in our space, in the beauty and aesthetic space. So I think we are actually the only umbrella association that crosses between beauty services, beauty, dermal therapy, and medical aesthetic. And we strive to unite the industry. And we see similarities and symbiotic relationship between, of course, all areas of beauty and cosmetic wellness and cosmetic, non-surgical cosmetic enhancements, as you would know, because your space embraces that. But the common thread with all of these businesses, you'd think that there would be differences, but it's actually staff and culture. It is one of the biggest areas of worry and concern. And I would say it's starting to become an anxiety with business owners. They have a staff, team, and culture anxiety that's honestly affecting their mental health at work. And we always talk about staff and employee mental health and wellness and well-being, right? But we're really not talking about business owners' mental health and what they're actually going through. And the one common thread every time we get a phone call is that high level of stress, the high level anxiety, and they almost throwing up their hands saying, look, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to own a business anymore. It's hard. IR makes it hard. HR makes it hard. Fair Work makes it hard. But also it's just a hard environment with all the payments that we need to make, all the entitlements that there are, all the tax, you know, loopholes that we fall into, not in our favor, mind you. And so it's becoming this landscape where businesses are saying, this is just too hard. I want to throw my hands up and close my business. And, you know, I walked into your space and I thought, oh, Ingrid doesn't have any of these problems because your staff was so happy. But it's actually really comforting to know that it's everyone feels this way, right?
Absolutely. And you're so right that it is really important to take that time out if you are a business owner to try to look after yourself and do exercise. That's so important, isn't it, to de-stress and find those mental health, that ritual that is going to work for you.
There needs to be, you know, like a body that protects such as ourselves, but there is Fair Work that represents employees. But, you know, I always get the question, who represents business owners? You know, we do as a peak body, of course, but I think more work needs to be done with regards to helping those people that run businesses to actually survive and run those businesses well. I think there really needs to be some kind of parameters put in place there because, as you said, it is one of the biggest stresses that our industry and other industries that own businesses have, you know. But, you know, you're such a wealth of knowledge in everything, obviously, in everything in our industry, but also as a business owner and as a human. This podcast has been enlightening in so many ways. And I love that you talk to the deeper strain, you know, of the things that we do and the things that we offer and what it means to be a business owner in this day and age. But if there's one piece of advice that you could give to our industry, to professionals or to business owners, what would it be?
Well, one thing that I need to learn more of too is to know your numbers and try to, you know, you've got to understand your expenses, you've got to cut your costs where you can. You know, there was a year that we turned over a revenue of $2,330,000, but our expenses were $2,300,000. I mean, how scary is that? So kind of understanding how you're tracking, because even though it looks busy, even though you look as if you're making a lot of money, you can get really shocked when you find out, you know, all those expenses that land in your inbox, really. So I suppose just having insight into that area, which I find is so difficult to really get.
I think we all do.
That's right.
We come into the passion.
That's a degree in itself.
Yeah. Well, you come in for the passion and then you get hit with numbers and you're like, this is not what I want to do. I wanted to make a difference in people's lives.
That's right. I'm a big picture person.
Yeah. How did you turn that around? You know, so many businesses are asking me, you know, how do you turn this around when you are at, your business is costing you more than you're making, even though you're busy and you're looking great. How did you manage to turn that around? Because once you start with those expenses, it's actually hard to shave back. Everything's necessary, you know?
Absolutely, that's right. And I think in most of my life I've had business coaching, and I think having a mentor there who can advise you and push you to do the things that you don't really want to do. Everyone's got a humongous do list, but you tend to do the things that appeals to you most or that's easier to do, but they make you do things that you really don't want to do, and then you have to be accountable to your business coach because you're paying them, and you don't want to fail. So I think having a person there who can guide you is very important.
Wow, that's wise, wise advice. Thank you so much, Ingrid. Goodness me, you are, as I said, an inspiration, a wealth of knowledge. It was a coup to get you on our podcast today. I'm so glad that you came to speak to our audience. Thank you so much for supporting our industry through your membership as well. We are so happy that it's valuable to you. And we definitely want to have you back on our podcast and maybe come and speak at our conference one day. That would be wonderful.
Oh, I'd be delighted to do that, Steph. And thank you for being so warm and welcoming and doing such a great job yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Beauté by ABIC podcast, your online support community for the aesthetic and beauty industry. Thank you for listening, and until next time, stay connected.